Please forgive the intrusive nature of this sermon, for I want to begin by taking a walk with you into the very attic of your soul. Though we, many of us, are friends, it is not my right to initiate such a visit. Though we are pastor and parishioners, it is not our right to force such a trek back up through the mist of time. You would need to make an invitation yourself, even to suggest the climb without any initiative on your part is rude of me. I apologize. Today's gospel, however, intrudes upon our very souls, whether the preacher has the right or not. As kingfishers catch fire and dragonflies draw flame, so truth, that light in which we see light, advances upon us. So we go ahead. We walk together upstairs to the landing. You have kindly turned on the hall light. Thank you. I wonder if this is a sign from you that you will welcome this joint venture. We pull down in the chain that loosens the attic portal. You know how that little door in the ceiling falls open, and slowly a flank of wooden stairs comes down and down and down and touches our feet. We're ready to climb together into the darkness. Watch your step. You have not been up into the cobwebs and the dust of memory, the mothballs and the coverlets of history, the grime and the darkness of the past. It's a little slow going. This is your attic, though. You know it as well as you know your own past. In fact, it is your past, box by box and crate by crate. I have no right to be here, and if you ask me, I will leave. One has a right to one's own regrets. They are not common property. They are yours, these boxes and labels and shoes and hangers and records and amulets and souvenirs from the dusty past. One of you is looking over an old service uniform from the Great War, brown and rumpled. Another sees bobby socks and a political poster, "I like Ike." Another has stumbled past three old Beatles albums, vinyl, Greatest Hits, Abbey Road, the White Album. There is a Jim Croce tape. This is archaeology. I wonder if it still plays. Another thumbs through a pile of newer vinyl. Of course, there are lots of photographs. What kind of an attic would it be without boxes and records and photographs? This is the attic of memory. No, we won't stop today at the wardrobe. The wardrobe is for another day. A day of hope and imagination. Lions and witches both come from wardrobes. Today we are looking back, though. We're going to stumble and claw our way over into the back corner of this attic. There's not much light here. It is a long time since anyone came back in all this way. Dust, cobwebs, makes you sneeze. Over in the corner, there is a small, low box, carefully closed and tied around with a little baler's twine. This is yours. No one else knows it is here, or if they do, they have forgotten or never understood or just don't care. But you know, and you remember, and you understand. And you care. In a way, I really don't want to be here. And you probably don't want to be here either. I, for it's not my business. And you, because in blank ink, now dusty, is penned across the top of the box a single, awful, hellish word, regret. Regret is a short synonym for hell. And up here in the attic of memory, off in the corner, sits this stupid box, which means nothing to anyone except to you. And there it is, a single box labeled regret. Open it. Go ahead. Try it, if you want. I think you may have wanted to come up here, but just never had 20 minutes of quiet to do so. Remember last summer when you thought about that box? Remember that early morning dream last month? That was a strange thing. I want to encourage you to open it, to hold it in both hands, to untie the twine, to loosen the top, to turn it over and let its contents all fall out. Good. That was a gutsy thing to do. Good for you. The reason the box was marked regret is that this is one thing that you regret. You have a regret. That is part of being human. Can you live with being human? Can you live with being a little lower than the angels? How do I know about this? As my great aunt would say, if you're so smart, how come you're not rich? A good question. I know about it because I have boxes in an attic, too. They, too, are covered with cobwebs. I, too, make my visits every now and then. My attic climbs, though very seldom. And yes, I know regret. Not just vicariously, either. There's nothing quite as bitter as the phrase, if only. I asked to come up here with you for a reason. Up in the attic here with that swinging bare light bulb and the Johnny Mathis vinyl record and all this dust, we may feel God. Look at the box again and all its contents spread across the floor. In the dark, I cannot see the floor, but after many years and many pulpits, I truly doubt if any of it would surprise me. After reading the Bible and Shakespeare and a few decades' worth of the newspaper, there's not that much that surprises. But it may be different for you. This is your attic, your memory, your box, your regret. It is yours. In a way, this box is more yours than any of the others, maybe all of them put together. For in this box are the articles of impeachment brought by life against us. They are multiple, and they are damning. And unlike civil and criminal law, the laws of the soul do not give way to lawyerly cunning. There's no vote. No two-thirds majority needed. What is that you say? Not you. Never a cutting word. Never a selfish deed. Never an unhealthy habit. Never a compulsive trend. Never a myopic judgment. Never a temptation accepted. Never an ungenerous year. Never a non-giving decade, not you. Never a misspent dollar or day or dream. Ah, but the box here doesn't lie. Nor does the conscience, nor does the memory, nor does life. It simply spells regret. There is something that both can and must be said as we pack up the regret box. It is not a human thing to say, though we are the only saying beings around, so it is up to us to do the best that we can. This is a God word, and only God speaks God's words. First, looking down at the dusty cardboard of past regret, something that if not removed can fester and infect and cripple, first there is this: God forgives you. This is, according to Scripture and to the life of the church for 2,000 years, in promise and intention, this is the divine initiative to forgive and forgive and forgive. Abraham felt it. Joseph practiced it. Hosea proclaimed it. Jesus taught us to pray for it, as we shall this morning. And for 2,000 years, the church has tried to exemplify and embody this one word, forgiven. God forgives. John Wesley asked his preachers one initial question: do you know God to be a pardoning God? All other titles aside, I am one of Mr. Wesley's preachers, period. Now, that in the face of a box marked regret, such a word, forgiven, is utterly good news. In the face of the worst rejection and the most regrettable misjudgment on earth, God steadily practices a powerful forgiveness. You know, in the midst of all manner of harshness to the right and to the left, it can be hard to hear the central personal truth about God and about us, enshrined in today's gospel from St. Luke, that God forgives. God forgives before we are up in the attic at all. God forgives when we realize that we have regret. God forgives as we carry the regret around. God forgives when we hear and when we do not. And it does not depend on our hearing. Do you know God to be a pardoning God? If so, you know the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the scripture, memorize it. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? No, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. But maybe that's not what keeps you awake, not what makes you linger today in the attic. You may well believe and trust that God forgives, but what about those you have regrettably hurt? That is, what about this second issue of others? This can be particularly hard for those of us who have grown up and around especially hardened parents and other adults. If you have not heard an encouraging word much growing up, it can be hard later in life to believe that those other humans around you can be gracious and forgiving. They can be. As a matter of fact, most of the time, they truly are. More than most of the time. People forgive more than you know and more than you may think you deserve. And that is a true delight. People have a profound capacity to forgive and to move on. It is God-given, and it is real, and it is good. Think of the waiting father and the prodigal son. Think of Paul forgiving Peter's two-faced behavior. Think of Augustine's mother forgiving his selfishness. Think of Erasmus forgiving the wayward popes. Think of Abraham Lincoln walking through Richmond. Think of the Marshall Plan and the rebuilding of Germany in the 1940s. Think of women and men night after day for millennia. You may have to ask sometime for forgiveness. You probably should. Say, "I'm sorry." Even if the pronunciation of the word is difficult, I was wrong. My experience is that most people, most of the time, when confronted with a heartfelt, sincere apology from a person of integrity, will say, "I understand. Let's let it go. I forgive you." It is one of the greatest things about other people. You may have to give it a little time. You may have to pray about it. You may have to trust a little. But other people will forgive you. But that may not be what holds you here in the attic either. It may be a third thing. As a matter of fact, I bet that the box is still up here, wrapped in twine and covered with dirt and marked regret for another reason. It's one thing for God to forgive you. It's one thing to accept another's forgiveness and kindness. But in the end, that still leaves you a few sandwiches short of a picnic. God has forgiven you. Your neighbor has forgiven you. Now comes the hard part. You have to forgive yourself. You have to let yourself off the hook. You have to find a way to admit to yourself that you are not 101% perfect. You have to, accept your own acceptance. And that can be a lot easier said than done, because we have a way of holding on to what poisons us. We have a way of just wrapping ourselves in a miserable kind of self-conceited self-condemnation up in the attic. Sunday is a great time to dump your guilt. God doesn't want it. No neighbor finally has much use for it. So why is it still in the box, and why is that box still in the attic? What good is it? Get rid of it. When in doubt, throw it out. God forgives you. So does your neighbor. Forgive yourself. As a matter of fact, while we're here up in the attic, let's together just take this box out. I'll hold the ladder for you while you're coming down. You can carry it with a little homiletical help. If we hurry, we can get out on the curb just before noon, and the heavenly garbage truck always comes by this part of your mental world Sunday at noon sharp. And there it is, out on the curb, and soon it will be gone forever, as William Blake did sing. "And throughout all eternity, I forgive you, you forgive me. And throughout all eternity, I forgive you, you forgive me. And throughout all eternity, I forgive you, you forgive me."